Oh, it's us. We're here. We're back. Holy moly. It's been a couple weeks. It's been a while. Hi, guys. It's Imports back again with Lime and Shorty for another Dropped Gears podcast. What should it be? What? Episode 20? We're only at 14? Something like that. Life happens. So, yeah, we've been busy. Lime, what's been going on in your life?
Been working, taking some courses. I want to scholarship, so now I'm doing online courses, and also taking German courses.
Ooh,
so I can speak German. Yeah, so it's been busy. It's been busy.
Relax.
Yeah, junge Scheiße.
Okay then. Oof.
Now that Lime is also learning German, one day we can make a German podcast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no.
German day. Shorty, your turn.
Yeah.
What's been going on in your life besides sitting in that chair? Do you ever leave that chair?
Well, yes, usually. I'm actually only sitting in the chair for the podcast, usually, because I'm not at the PC for most days at all. Yeah, I'm having fun playing table tennis, obviously. That's good. And then I spend some days being ill, like today.
He's lying. That chair is anatomically attached to his body, and everywhere he moves, the chair falls. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry that you weren't feeling
good
today.
Not the couch. It's the couch. I'm just always in the couch.
Ah.
Watching anime.
What can recommend. Why are you watching now, Jyoti? Kawaii.
Kawaii. I shouldn't have said anything.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Meow.
Yeah.
We love you, Shorty. All right. Well, it's been a while. If you haven't been to the podcast before, hi, how are you? We're going to talk about some things that happened around TM. We're not. I don't think we have planned to talk about any esports stuff. We're kind of over that. It's kind of like boring. If anything exciting happens, we'll talk about it, but nothing exciting happened. Actually, I take that back. The only thing The only thing I will talk about is that Sinners won two games in a row.
Yes. They are proving themselves this season.
Yeah. Sinners won two games in a row. I was there for the first win, so that's the only one that matters. And then the second one, they beat Big, which is like first place. So that's kind of crazy. Anyways, all right. So that was the thing that happened in TMGL. Everybody else, every other team, they don't matter. Yeah. Now I'm gonna get canceled. Oh my gosh, Import, you're not being inclusive about the other teams. You know their players too. Okay. Anyways, yeah. So
you must be inclusive this month. Sorry.
I miss this podcast. Anyways, intrusive thoughts. Yes. Inclusive, yep. Intrusive. Okay, so things that have happened since we last had our podcast. You see 5 million players, but why was this tweet announced? It was because the console released a couple weeks back. The whole meme of console when has finally died, or has it? And a little bit drama surrounding this tweet. Let's give some pretext here. There were multiple individuals, maybe one of our producers, was asking Nadeo directly about what about the increase of players? What are the player numbers currently with the console release? Because, I mean, that's what we've been hyped up for, right? The console release, a bunch of players are going to be coming in. So, like, what's going to happen? What are the player numbers? And they aren't releasing their live active user numbers at all. Now, whether you're a fan of that is not really up for debate here, because it doesn't really matter, because if you take it from a business perspective, it makes sense. Like, whether they have, I mean, if they have insane numbers, they're going to post it, right? But since Nadeo has been struggling to keep active users, let's just be honest, Trackmania has been struggling. I mean, it's been growing slowly, but they've been struggling to keep active users oftentimes, because there will be some really low days where there's almost nobody on. So they're not going to release that number quite a few people are upset with that because of the history. If you look at the previous games like Trackmania Stadium 2 as like the one of the better examples, or TMNF or whatever, they always would have live users on this on the game in multiplayer servers, etc. You would be able to see how many users were playing the game at the time. So now we don't have that. Some people are kind of upset about that, but at the same time, it's what they chose to do for Trackmania 2020. Now,
I'm going to interject here. I'm the producer guy that said that posted that tweet. But we actually have the first map in the game that has been played by over 1 million players, and that is 01 of this campaign. So since April 1st, we had at least 1 million active players. So that is pretty good.
Overall time, 1 million players, it's
since
good.
April 1st of this year.
1 million players have played 01.
Yes. AO1, yeah. Of the,
that is not including how many multiple accounts people have made. That's not counting that, though.
I mean, sure, but yeah.
Sorry to burst your bubble, but that's not including how many multiple accounts. And if you're anybody like Virgil, you made 16 different accounts, so or more. So that number.
You know what? Continue, shoot.
Yeah, isn't that forbidden by?
Forbidden
by TOS.
Who cares about rules?
Technically,
I mean, look at TMWT anyway.
If it's it's forbidden by TOS, but I mean, we see the biggest streamer do a
if the biggest
flag of India
is not getting caught
name,
by the rules,
Gandhi,
then
racist. So yeah, that's kind of that. But anyways, yeah, this tweet, 5 million players. They're like, hey, we have 5 million players. Cool. Okay, which is a good number. I mean, 5 million players, but that's 5 million accounts. But again, multiple people have multiple accounts. So we really don't know what the true number is, and we don't really know what the active user is. I mean, if you could try to go through every single server and try to count how many players are in each server, but that would be kind of wasted.
You know
time.
What? These kind of tweets, when they... This is really poor and really cheap. You know, I would have preferred to just not say anything instead of saying, hey, we have 5 million players, because this is kind of misleading to how many people are playing actively the game, you know? So I would have preferred to just not say a shit. You know, and I don't know why they're hiding so much. I mean, I understand the business side of, we're having low numbers and anything, but there are many games on Steam, and you can see how many active players and how many players have played the game throughout the time. So I don't know why for Trackmania, Nadeo, it's so scary to show that, you know, like, what's the issue? If your game is not
Ubisoft
performing well, then...
policy to not share live player numbers. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but still, kind of shady.
I completely agree with you, but yes, that's just company policy. All there is to it.
Ubisoft's doing Ubisoft things, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, we can't necessarily say that Nadeo is intentionally, like, from their personal side, like, trying to hide the numbers. If it is a Ubisoft policy, then their hands are tied either way, regardless of how they feel. So, can't do much about that. But, yeah. It'd be interesting to... I mean, we kind of see other people's reactions, but Shorty, what do you think about this?
I don't know. I mean, when I first saw the tweet and the answer of, yeah, we're not going to share that, I was like, man, why? But to be fair, it just kind of makes sense. And it would, of course, be interesting to have that number. But on the other hand, there is no big loss of not knowing it. It's like, whatever, kind of. And especially if it's Ubisoft rules, then there's no point in complaining about it anyway.
I mean, for brands and collaborations, knowing how many people are playing your game, it's something that you should know. But if it's internal policy, then whatever.
It's also other games that don't share their numbers. So it's not like Ubisoft isn't the only ones that don't share the number.
There's
so
one interesting tweet here.
Oh,
I'm
Derek's
just gonna
tweet.
So this is 15 days after the console release.
Mm-hmm.
It was in response to why would you waste resources on stuff like ice updating console if there's still broken systems in place, blah, 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 blah. Derek literally said Trackmania would not survive without the console release. So, yes, they are struggling.
I mean, they've been struggling for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, but the company's doing okay-ish, but they're not really making huge profits. And I pretty much predicted this when I heard the console announcement. I pretty much said, yeah, if this console release doesn't go well for them, they're probably going to go broke in the next 1 to 2 years.
You can summarize a lot of things with SpongeBob quotes. You can literally, I can literally imagine Mr. Krabs, money, which is their company, so obviously. Yeah. just... It makes sense.
We did for Wally to get this game to be successful.
I don't know about whether or not the game would survive. I don't know if the game would not survive without console release. I mean, it brings more players, but
if Nadia gets shut down because of no money, then it doesn't survive. As simple as that. Ubisoft will just end it.
I think I have the feeling that Nadia is focusing on a different area. For example, they are like, oh my god, if we don't have players, we don't have money to run the servers. Which in a part, it's completely true. But on the other side, you can have like multiple collaborations and partnerships with brands and stuff that also brings you a shit ton of money. So I think that they are just focusing on the side of, oh, we don't have players. Oh, we want to run out of money. But it's like, you can have multiple income, how do you call it? Income canals or channels?
If they got sponsors, that I would agree with you, but they took forever to find Corporeal, and Corporeal is now bankrupt.
Oh, shit, really?
Just to give you an example, yes.
Oh, okay.
Another main issue is that the sponsors of, and I don't know if we probably briefly touched over the subject before, but the issue with the sponsors, if we're going to go on that track, is the fact that they only focus on French sponsors or French companies. When if they really tried, they probably could get other sponsors from international wise, and they would probably be willing to chuck money at the game, but. Yeah. Then again, overall, we've also talked about how like sponsors in esports and everything, they're pulling out, maybe not this podcast, but esports in general is kind of in this like recession.
That is true. I mean, if you guys haven't seen, this is like this is just an example. League of Legends NA, it's just going down the rabbit hole. They are in the mud because of how the franchise and everything just went completely wrong. Everyone knew that it would go wrong by having high salaries and just people buying from other areas, no, overseas the players and the stuff, and not actually contributing to form a league ecosystem there in NA. So this is the same issue as I was saying. People are focusing on the wrong side of the business in order to make something bigger.
Yeah. League of Legends, I mean, the issue with League of Legends in that regard is it is partly the franchise, but it's also what they did with Challenger. That's kind of the whole stem of that situation. Is that Challenger League is just not worth for major orgs because there's no benefit out of it outside of kind of like a weird training realm. But even then, it's not worth because most of the players that go into Challenger, I believe it was one individual, I think it was Tyler One who talked about it. Many of the players who are up and coming that end up in Challenger, after they reach Challenger, you're guaranteed a minimum $75,000 salary a year. So at that point, you made it. You're making money. What you really don't need to try that much harder because if you get pulled up to the pro team, you're not making that much more money unless you guys were winning. So for my understanding, it's just not even like the players stop putting in effort once they make it into Challenger. And so for the orgs, like if they're not able to bring up players in this ecosystem, it's just not worth at all. So that's why multiple orgs are pulling out of the Challenger League, and it's kind of destabilized this whole franchising. And now there's a walkout, which now LCS has been delayed by 2 weeks and whatnot. And the reason why we're talking about League of Legends is because this is actually important and can relate to Trackmania, because Trackmania is trying to do this franchise light thing. And Trackmania doesn't have a player association. The teams in Trackmania don't have a player association. And what happens in League of Legends could easily have a massive ripple effect into every other esport in existence at the moment, because League of Legends is still one of the most popular esports. It's like League of Legends, CSGO, and then the others fall in line afterwards. So whatever happens with NALCS, with this situation, could start affecting other leagues, not only in League, but in other games as well. So that's why it's kind of important.
I mean, you have to take an example of the big ones to not make the same mistake right now in Trackmania. The whole esports environment is still in their first steps, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I read Twitter. I think that it was Chris, it was you, the one that was talking about Trackmania Challengers and how... No, is it Challenger? I don't know how it's called. But that we don't have as many teams as before in the European League, because literally no one's caring about it.
Oh, yeah, well, regionals. That was my tweet.
The regionals, yeah, that is.
Yeah, they gutted regionals pretty hard. Yeah.
Why would I participate if I can't make it into Challenger?
Well, yeah, stage two has no purpose outside of getting a couple extra world tour points. But at that point, I don't even think majority of the teams that are from stage one are even playing in stage two. Like, many of the top teams, I think, have switched. I mean, Evo's not there anymore. I think it's like maybe one or two teams from last time, like Ferox or, I don't know. Not Ascension, but Arctic Raptor, I think, maybe. I don't know. I haven't paid attention, to be honest. I kind of quit Mint after we disbanded. Mint is gone. Well, that we kind of knew that already. But, yeah, it's just no point, because there's no relegation in Stage 2. It doesn't really matter for the World Tour unless you're competing for those top couple spots for World Tour points. Then it does matter. But those are kind of already set in stone. So what is there to do?
Nothing. I mean, so what? From what I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, apparently, like, the top two or top four non-TMGL, non-TMCL teams from World Cup qualified to the new TMCL next year, which is supposed to have more teams.
At least, yeah, they're talking about expanding it. Yeah. But how are they going to do that? Like, I mean, obviously, yeah, they're going to add more teams. Cool, great. But their spots cost money. Like,
TMCL spots don't cost money. There is no guest. I'm just a producer, guy. Sorry, Utsip.
Yeah, Chris is just participating himself today.
The thing
today
is that here in Trackmania, even if you make it, there is no sustained, you know? It's just not sustained for anything.
Which is what I tried to talk about that one day when What's-His-Face was here, and everybody thought I was trying to say people don't deserve to get money. But no, like...
Let's not go back to that.
No, we're going back to that. But it is true, though. Like, Trackmania is not sustainable. And I tried to say it earlier, and people were mad that I tried to say it. Like, what's going? And I'm like, well... Is it though?
I mean, yeah, but no. I mean, I completely understand what you were trying to say, but it's also not impossible to not do it. So
it's not impossible, and that's what I also said. I said it's possible, yes, but the likelihood is like
it's really low.
Turn into Italian, it's like you know, it's like,
Mamma mia,
Mamma mia. Yeah, the thing is, it's not just the future of Trackmania too, right? It is the future of esports in general. It's becoming so highly unstabilized because all these investors are pulling out, which personally I had a feeling was going to happen because it was ballooning so much. And from the American side, before I even moved to Germany, when esports was just like massively booming, I was like, the barrier to entry into esports was so low back in the grassroots day. Like, anybody can make an org, anybody could make it big, and there was a lot of opportunity for everybody. Then, once they started consolidating and monopolizing multiple sponsors, multiple investors, big team, pro teams getting in on the action, that barrier to entry went so extremely high. Salaries went through the roof. Like, and I'm like, there's no way for sustainability because where is the return of investment?
I mean, just look at what's happening to FaZe Clan.
Right. They went public and their stock tanked. Which I never understood why you would make an esports org go public like that. Anyways, it just doesn't make that move in general didn't make much sense at all. Like, esports is a novelty, right? But it can lose its novelty, and that is what's kind of happening right now with esports. Esports is losing its novelty amongst investors because it's not the new shiny thing anymore. It's existence. It's kind of like K-pop when it exploded internationally. K-pop was a novelty, and now it's not anymore. Is K-pop as big as it exploded beforehand? I would say no. It's a trendy thing. Esports is not very trendy at the moment. There's no massive appeal for investors when they're not getting any money back.
Yeah, now we will have to do artificial intelligence in Trackmania, so maybe we can get some sponsors from it, you know?
Surely. Oh, the Stage 2 format. Promotion relegation Stage 2 will use the World Championship results from the following teams. The four best performing teams at World Championship will qualify for Trackmania Challenger League. Okay. Cool, I guess. But, yeah. It's still... Have you guys seen the World Championship format, though?
We don't know the format.
We know a little bit about it, just from the rules. I mean, of course, the rule book.
The rules are going to change.
The rules are going to change no matter what. But I mean, they have literally the wild card stages. Like, I don't know what they're thinking, bro. The wild card is like a whole month long. And it's like multiple Swiss stages and like a bunch of teams like get into the Swiss stage and then you play a bunch of Swiss matches. That's why it was so hard to plan the dates for XP Evo because of the stupid wild card event. Sorry, Nadeo. But like... It was just kind of very difficult to plan that just because this wild card. And this wild card may not even have enough like teams, or if they do, not very high quality teams, will be in this wild card. And it's just kind of like, why? Why not just condense the event? Because it's proven that you can condense the event for the regional leagues. Like, I think it's too much. Does import have to say sorry Nadeo legally every time? Yes. Gun held to my head, yes.
I mean, it's definitely too long considering how many teams you actually have that are high level. You know, like if the league wouldn't be so newer, or if it would be older and would be like really hyped in general, then having a long relegation to it may not even be that bad. I mean, you don't have to watch the relegation, but gives more players the opportunity. But considering you already lost like half the teams from stage 1 to stage 2 in regionals, probably not enough teams are even interested in that opportunity, and then it kind of becomes pointless if nobody's interested in it.
But it's the same feeling that I have overall for the game. Like, it's kind of pointless.
I mean, you said a bunch of things about the console release and the reasons behind it, but I mean, it doesn't really matter what the actual reasons behind it was. I think we can just still all agree that it's a good thing, and having console players, especially with crossplay being possible, is pretty cool. Was it worth it? I don't know.
We will see that later if it was worth it. They're already saying, Track Media wouldn't even survive without the console release, then I guess it was completely worth it on one side.
I mean, probably worth it. I mean, what else would they have done with the hours they spent developing that? They could have made another game mode or something like that, but we all know how Royal, for example, you know, came out to be not very interesting after, like, I don't know, a couple of months or something like that. So why would you spend and risk development in something where you don't even know if it's worth it or not? Might as well just make the console release where you definitely know that new players are just gonna join the game simply because of that.
And 2v2 when?
Yeah.
Oh no.
That is also the thing, because people, everyone was waiting for the console release, right? And then they say, 2v2 will come shortly after that, or even before. It never happened, so...
Did I ever talk about the reasoning as to potentially why? This is hearsay, by the way, so, like, you can ignore
it. I read a tweet from I don't know who and said that they were putting all the efforts onto a different project, and that's why 2v2 it's getting delayed, you know?
So I heard other than that. Yes, that is one, but, like, I heard other than that and a different side to it. And again, this is hearsay. I don't really have a source. This is just passing in conversation with a group of individuals. That essentially there was a clash between the developers and the esports side in regards to how 2v2 should be managed, because apparently, and again, hearsay, I don't 100% know if this was the case or not.
Rumors.
The developers had an issue with 2v2 because they felt like it was unfair somehow towards worse players, not so skilled players, and that it was actually bad for the health of the matchmaking itself.
This was on Twitter, actually.
Was it on Twitter?
Yes. I have a tweet for this.
Ah, let's go. So I'm not making things up.
No, it's straight from Derek, because it was in response to one of my tweets, actually.
Now we have the receipts.
You're having a lot of Twitter discussions with Derek, Chris.
Yeah, actually, Chris has been all over my Twitter, and he's the reason why I know.
I ship them, honestly. They're so cute together.
The idea was, it started with Derek's tweet saying, consoles, ? Like, response to one of their tweets. And then Florentius was like, matchmaking 2v2, and then Derek was focusing on consoles right now. I'm like, just wondering, why was this originally promised for January 21st when it's now getting delayed for months with no new ETA? And then Derek was like, we made a too early promise, to be honest, it was planned and all, and then we had a huge workload due to consoles, and we decided that 2v2 matchmaking was less important than a good console release for Trackmania. Like, fair enough, it would release with the console release at least, would be cool to have 2v2 available on launch on consoles already. And they're like, no, it's not finished, we're not even sure after all that it's a good thing to have 2v2 for new players, 3v3 allows for more mistakes. We're thinking of having 2v2 when you're on the TMW team maps only, just an idea, nothing concrete. And then this whole discussion happened where people were saying 2v2 allows for better queue times, and then Derek was saying it's not better for casual players, that's the whole point.
I feel like they just want dumb people playing the game
instead of team play. Yeah,
I don't understand. This is why when we had our conversation with Tona, even when he was on the podcast, like, this focus on casual players. I get it. Like, you want everybody to have fun. League of Legends wanted that too, and then League of Legends kind of realized that, like, our game is insanely complicated. You're either gonna learn it or you're not. Like, Trackmania is not that complicated of a game. You learn the mechanics or you don't. And there's so many things that you can look at for on YouTube or whatever to figure out how to do the mechanics, and they even show you exactly what input at what exact time that you have to do. Like, this game is not that hard. And I get triggered every single time I see not good for new players or not good enough, it's not better for casual players. Who cares? It is a competitive matchmaking mode that is determining for your regional tournaments. What is this?
I mean, you know what? Matchmaking.
Sorry.
I think that by definition, it's not for the casuals. Something, why are you thinking right. about the casuals when you're making matchmaking? It's competitive. It's the moment that you put time on the game and you learn the mechanics and you learn everything in order to pursue a rank. As Speedy says on the chat, yeah, Royal is for casual players. Competitive? No. Then again, it's the same issue. They are focusing on the wrong stuff to make this game even better.
The fun part about that argumentation is that they're literally refusing, or I mean refusing, but they're literally not doing the one thing that would be the best for casuals. A proper training campaign. Like, you know, like their argumentation about matchmaking, yeah, wouldn't be better for casuals. Meanwhile, training mode, what is this? You know, why don't you start there? Or why don't you start somewhere else? You know, you have so many. If I look at Reddit, and I'm browsing Reddit basically daily, and the amount of questions of casual players is obviously normal. You know, they are new players. But what strikes me negatively is some of these questions. They are so stupid, not because the person posting them is stupid, but because the game is just not properly explaining itself. Like, why don't they finally focus on those kind of things if they are so struck on making the game more beginner friendly?
Because let's talk about things. Let's bring out a super easy thing to kind of go along with it. When I see Reddit posts of players being like, how do you get your car to land flat after a jump? And everybody in that Reddit thread has to explain to them how air braking works. Just literally tapping the brake midair and explaining that mechanic. And Trackmania doesn't explain simple mechanics like that even in their training.
To be honest, when I started playing the game, yeah, I also didn't know how to air brake, and I had a bunch of people on the chat getting really mad at me because I never air brake.
You can air brake?
I was once building maps for the German Cup, you know, like that big German competition, and because the admins one day said, yeah, if you want feedback about your maps, then ask us. And because both of my maps didn't make it in, I was like, oh, well, sure, let me ask what happened, or why. And then, just simply because I did that, and it was a couple of months after the ice release, or even half a year or more, and the guy was like, yeah, man, that map is absolutely amazing, but the first ice turn just does not work at all. It takes me 30 tries to do it once. And I was like, I was really baffled because I made it easy on purpose, right? But and then he said, and then I was asking, you do know that you can brake tap on ice, do you? And he was like, he freaked out. He was like, oh. Then he opened the map, and simply because of that discussion, that map made it into the tournament, because they discarded it because they did not know that you can brake tap on ice to adjust the angle.
I'm also that guy, to be honest. Because I mean, when I first started playing Trackmania TM 2020, I also didn't understand that you could break tap, or an old ice physics, you could adjust your angle with the wheel, even, or just like turning the wheel, ever like tapping it. And yeah, that was kind of
keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, with keyboard, or you could do it with controller too. You just have to.
Yeah, but you're
it,
losing
but,
time.
Yeah, but so. But still, though, it's like you didn't know those things, and it doesn't explain that. Like,
yeah, I mean, how would you? It's the game's fault, basically. The game needs to tell you these things. That's the funny thing, you know, like
matchmaking. Or outside dirt. We could even take outside dirt. Outside dirt is faster because of the less turning thing. Like you could, game could explain that even. Like
you don't necessarily have to explain that. But if you would do a training campaign, obviously you would include that in there.
Yeah,
but that's something that I think that if you're a player and you're dedicated, which you kind of need to be for Trackmania to have fun in the game, then you're gonna find that out. You know, that's something where you may be able to find out yourself that this line is faster because it physically makes sense, at least. But the fact that you can air brake, that you can brake in the air and something happens, is not really something you think about yourself.
I think they are having like a confusion in between having a learning curve in Trackmania versus learning the basic mechanics of the game, you know. Because there's literally no guide. I believe that if it wasn't because I was streaming the game when I first started playing it, I wouldn't never know many of the things that now I know of the mechanic of the game. And if it wasn't just because of the people telling me in chat what to do. But if it wasn't because of them, and if I had played offline, not on the stream, without a chat, because in Trackmania you also don't have a chat when you're playing a like campaign and stuff. There's no resource to actually know what to do. I mean, you can go on YouTube and see what the person is doing. I remember there was a map that Irizel got the world record, and I was like, "What is he doing in the beginning?" And he was doing a new slide. I had no idea how to do that shit. I just saw him like moving the card in a certain way, and I tried to mimic that too, but I never got it because it's like really hard, you know? You can mimic many stuff, but if you don't get trained on it, on how to do it and when, it's you won't learn. You know?
I mean, this is kind of, this comes full circle though, right? We're talking about players having trouble, at least new players, casual players, trying to get into the game and not really being able to learn the game through the training mode.
Mm-hmm.
So why then is the question, which is basically a rhetorical question because we all know the answer at this point. Why is the game having trouble retaining new players?
That is the main issue. I mean, when we talk with Tona, I said that you're focusing on new and casuals and players. With those casuals, you want them to become like permanent players, right? But the way that you're focusing on how to make them permanent is just not it. You're not giving the new players the tools and knowledge to stay in the game and actually enjoy it, you know? I believe, talking about my own personal experience, if I start playing this game, not on the stream, I probably would have just quit after a while because of frustration and seeing what the other players were doing and me not being able to replicate that, you know?
Yeah.
That's frustration.
To be honest, hot take, it's not a hot take. The training maps are absolute dog.
That is even the worst thing. I didn't even know that they had training maps. I just started playing the fucking campaign. Day one, I started playing map 3, and it was a fucking ice map. Imagine.
Can we talk about the one of the last maps where it's like all four surfaces, but it's a completely flat map, and then the level, and then you have to go over fragile, and then you have to just do an ice turn. It's like so bad. Like,
to be fair, I think Nadeo also thinks that. I think Nadeo will also acknowledge the fact that the training campaign is just not good. I think
they said they will change it. So yeah, that's good.
Like, that would have been perfect for console. When? Like, it's a little bit late now after console release.
Yeah.
The main players that you get through the console release are already playing now. And they are gone by the time they finish the new training campaign, probably.
You know, right now, this is something in my life outside the game, but I'm taking a course on project management, and this is one of the things that when I'm taking classes and reading the stuff, I was like, this is what Nadia should have done, and they haven't. Like, there is no control, there is not, like, redoing stuff. They aren't, like, the learning experience and the learning curve that this game company has done, it is just way too behind everything, and by doing whatever they're doing, they're destroying the game, actually.
And this is where I shill for Evo. I think this is why communities like Evo and whatnot, like communities that help new players or are willing to help new players if they ask. It's really about whether the person who's coming to the game is willing to ask or try to like interact with other people, and whether they're willing to like get help. And if they are, typically those are the ones that are going to stay in the game. Those who find a group of people who are willing and super happy to show them the game and teach them the game. I mean, Polly is in here, right? Polly's watching the podcast right now. Polly is one of those people. I mean, he is a very casual player. I mean that in the most loving way possible. but he stayed because he found a community. He found something for him that he enjoys, dirt, a community, Evo, and it's what has driven him to be able to stay in Trackmania and want to play Trackmania and want to interact with his friends in the community. And it's the same thing for other players as well. They find their community, their group of friends or whatever, and they stay. Yuta's another group, for example. You guys, they all like FS. They all play FS together. They all enjoy the game together and they have fun and they hang out. It's that kind of stuff that Nadeo could focus on along with fixing their terrible player integration that they have.
I do believe that pushing more the communities that are already on the game would be their big impact right now in order to make the casual players more of a permanent player. Because, as you say, if a player doesn't have like a group of friends or people to ask for stuff, they are most likely to leave. That is the issue. If you don't have a community, you leave because you feel alone and you don't have anyone to relate to.
Not everybody is willing to look for help. So they want to learn on their own. And I mean, if you want to learn the game, if you want to make the effort, you're going to make the effort no matter what. But many people are not like that. They want to be able to play a game, hop in and enjoy it and feel like they have some competitiveness or gratification from what they're currently doing. And if they're not getting that immediately, or if they're having trouble and they're getting frustrated from not understanding what's happening, especially if they have the opportunity to look at ghosts and they're seeing what another player does and they're like, what the heck is this guy doing over here? And they have no idea what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That creates frustration and that creates a lack of wanting to play the game. It's why also, even though we constantly talk about League of Legends, League of Legends has constantly had to be forced to figure out this problem because the game is so stupidly complicated.
What do you mean? That game is so freakingly easy. I really enjoyed the first couple of times I played it, and I've never played it again.
I'm actually enjoying playing League of Legends again. I've been playing ranked, and I've actually been having fun. I know I'm a psychopath, but like,
get import out of this.
Get back on topic.
We are getting back on topic. What I'm saying is like, it's just dependent on the person. It's dependent on the game, and not everybody has it correctly, but we can all agree that Trackmania and Nadeo definitely don't have this correct at all. Like, it almost feels like they're, if they are trying and they're trying is through a campaign, they're not trying hard enough.
I mean, you can take another example of what happened to Fortnite, you know, when everyone started playing the game and building and blah, blah. And people that got the mechanic right away started being like amazingly blah, whatever you want. And then the people like me that stood behind the mechanic, it was like, okay, I understand the game, I enjoy it, but whenever I shoot one kid, he's gonna build a 5-star hotel with the materials that they have. So it's not that fun. And for this game, it's kind of the same. You know, you get the mechanic, everything, blah, blah. And then when you don't get it, it's like you get left behind and then less enjoyment of the game.
Yeah. Well, we could beat this horse to death further and further, but let's go ahead and move along to some other topics. Briefly kind of covering things that are going to be happening. And speaking of communities, let's talk about things that are happening for various Trackmania communities. And one of those is ZRT's Ascension Tournaments. If you don't know what ZRT's a tournament is, I at least encourage you to look up previous events because they are huge. And they are pretty extreme in terms of how they're focused on Trackmania. It's through the streamer Zerator. He is the one who has started all. He has a massive French following, and through his streams that he gets all the time, he's able to now have he's used the benefits of his streaming and his platform to be able to provide a competitive avenue for the French community in this event through Ascension, and they are going to be having that in next month. So that is
It's actually three offline events.
Three offline events. So yes, three LAN events, essentially. Three LAN tournaments.
Yeah.
And stadiums. They usually have big events, so they're huge. The stadiums, like last year, was it? They had them sitting in like actual Trackmania cars or whatever.
Yep.
That was really cool.
So yeah, they go over the top, which is kind of crazy. And my only thing about this, which I have to because I think it is important, while this is great and all, it is only focused towards the French community. It is only geared towards the French community, which is great. Cool. Do your own thing. But as far as Trackmania is concerned, Trackmania suffers not from the French community, but from the international community. And so that is why, while I think this event is great, I think it is something that doesn't solve the issue for Trackmania in terms of what Trackmania really needs, but it gets more eyes from the French side, and that's why the French community is always usually the largest in Trackmania, and it has been for a long time. But we'll talk about
the maps,
an international event.
I mean,
at another time.
Soon. There's two more things today that are kind of interesting with Zerator events. One is the very unique mapping style.
Yes.
I think
they certainly call it unique, yeah.
I think in English it's colloquially known as shitfest. That is basically the style of his maps. They're very gimmicky, lots of obstacles, and people hunt those for whatever reason. And yeah, second, the production quality for his events, they're actually insane. And going back to one of our way previous points where we said that TMWT had issues with finding a sponsor.
Yes.
Zerator has three of them. Among them are Continental and PayPal. Of all things. Continental and PayPal.
Those
two companies are like way bigger than Caporal has ever been.
This is one of the things that, for me, it's like mind-blowing, because you see these esport clubs, you see this one person, you see some streamers and everything, and they get like a huge, like a collaboration, and then you have this whole ass game that has been in the public for like so many fucking years with no big or bigger collaboration, partnership, sponsors, whatever you want to call it. Like,
it baffles me how like this event, and it's like, I'm glad you pointed that out. Like, look at these sponsors, and then look at how Nadeo struggles to get sponsors for their event. Now, who's to say that it could be Ubisoft being a turd and like interfering with anything, because they probably do. But I feel like it's, for me, it would be weird. Like, if I see this event happening, and I see this is somebody in my community, French community, we'll say, my French community, a player who's bringing in way more than what we could ever do on our own. Like, and maybe a Raider is not willing to like work with Nadeo on things, and maybe that's why. But it just confuses me on Earth, like to no end. I mean, how Nadeo and Zerator, like, Zerator doesn't, like, help Nadeo find stuff, or Nadeo doesn't, like, reach out to Zerator and, like,
I
give him a nice little massage to, like, hey, yo, can y'all help us out, our little struggling company? Like,
it might be a scene of ego. I don't know why I get the feeling that it might be ego stuff to not look out for help or to not look out for, yeah, basically help for other people to get this game bigger or get another sponsor. And I could argue with you that Ubisoft might be some sort of block on these sponsorships or collaborations, but you basically have a huge game like Fortnite that is from Epic Games, Ubisoft, I don't know what it was.
No, Epic Games, not Ubisoft.
Epic Games, but this game was also an Epic Games, and they had like 1,000 collaborations with this stuff.
Different creator, one is a developer, one is and they have the Epic Games store, just like Valve has Steam, but Valve didn't make Trek.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then whatever. But still, you can get the sponsorships. You just have to look out for them.
Keep in mind that Nadeo turned down a 10,000 euro sponsorship offer from Trilix. He was willing to put down 10,000 euros of his own money for the TMGL or TMWT prize pool, and they didn't take it.
Yeah, I remember that. You see, this is more of an egocentric kind of issue than anything, because why will you turn down that? Why? What's the reason behind?
It could be Hillis. It could be anything. Like, that's a wormhole I'm not willing to go down to. After we just had that long discussion about why Nadeo can't retain their players.
Anyway, Zerator event, great. 100,000 players on a French stream.
I'm sorry. Are you in the podcast, Mr. Production Guy? Really mad? Yes,
I am. Because we need to move on.
Okay, move on to it's more for 15th birthday.
Chat, get your pitchforks out. When did the production guys start taking over the podcast? Cool. This next event, what is this? 15 years of Smurfin.net, founded at 1st June 2008. Somebody's going to be pissed that I said that. So they're hosting an event for a 15-year celebration. That's really cool. Sorry, I was not aware of this beforehand, but that's really cool. 15 years, dang. Longer than Evo.
Dude, 15 years is a whole ass child.
I know. That's half of my life, actually. Dang.
I can talk a little bit about this if people aren't aware with the Smurfing community. They've single-handedly kept casual events in Canyon and Valley and Shoot Mania Royal since 2011. They've done them every single weekend. They're also the only community that hosts a competitive tournament in Trackmania 2 Canyon still, to this day. Yeah, they are doing a fantastic job in TM2, in my opinion, in the lesser known environments. But yeah, that's why they deserve a shout out here.
They definitely do.
Well, I didn't know that. That's cool.
I mean, how many Smurfing Cups have there been played already?
800, 900? I have no clue. It's a lot.
900.
I mean, from how many years is it? It's weekly.
So this is Royal Smurfs Cup 494, was last Sunday. And before that, we had Smurf Cup Valley 230, Canyon 561. So, like,
it's kind of funny, the fact that Nadeo has Trackmania and there's just this random Shoot Mania within Trackmania 2. Like, you have one engine and the same engine is a racing game and also a shooter at the same time.
Yeah. Well, let's go to next things.
We could talk about Shoot Mania one day.
That is Something I've heard really quick.
Shoot Mania? No.
No.
Gross. Pinkburst, hey, there's a new skin. There's a bunch of new skins. So yeah, we've had quite a few skins released since we last talked on the podcast. One of them is Pinkburst by Tatona. Fantastic community skin that you were able to get if you are subscribed to our Twitch channel for 6 months, I believe, 6+ months, or if you've given 6 or more gift subs on the channel, or have donated 25 euros or more to Evo, you can claim your own Pink Burst skin. You do not have to be an Evo member. So if you like the skin and you want to support us, which that money goes to paying for our servers, we do not take any of that money home. It goes straight back to the community, so you don't have to worry about that. Yeah, definitely feel free to support us. And I know Tatona was very excited to be able to do this project with us, and I'm very happy and thankful for the work that he's done. Also, I want to give a shout out to Shorts as well, because he made our recent competitive skin, which sadly we do not have a picture here, I believe, unless Chris is able to throw one up really quickly. We do have our competitive skin that was made by Shorts, and that is overtaking our old skin by Shumi, and it is a very nice sleek design as well. Yeah, it's great, it's fantastic, it's got that flow, it's got a nice little bit more race car professional feel than just our logo plastered like huge and everything, which I still like, by the way. But the skin is also really dope. And speaking of the skin, let's go to you can actually get a variation of the skin if you would like, if you are not an Evo member, and that is through our Pride fundraiser. We are doing a fundraiser for the It Gets Better project, which empowers LGBTQ plus youth. And if you donate at least $10, you are able to get your own skin as well. It is a pride colored theme of this skin, our competitive skin, and you do not have to be an Evo member to have that. Also, we will have a campaign for Pride Month, like we did last year. We are bringing the Pride campaign back again with a lot of mappers that you may have seen from the previous campaign, and they've done a fantastic job in making these, and that will be available soon as well.
It's already out.
Or it's already out, thank you. And then I believe that is it for that.
I mean, yeah. Those skins actually look really, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look sick. For the people on Spotify and all the other things that cannot see this, you can check out our Twitter. It's, I don't know, what's the Twitter?
EvoTM.
EvoTM. So you can check out the skins.
Not even knowing our Twitter and you're on this podcast. Disgusting. But that's right. Yeah.
I didn't know I made a skin, by the way. I used to get asked like at least once a month if I can make a skin.
Yeah, can you make us a skin?
Yeah, sure. It's just not what you're gonna it's just gonna be different to what you expect.
But if you liked these skins from Shorts and Tatona and everything, and you like the work that Shorts and Tatona have done, don't worry, because they will also be bringing some more content to you in the coming months, because there's an event that we just announced at 6 p.m. earlier today. Finally, even though we've already talked about it multiple times, here's the official announcement for XP Evo. If you haven't heard of it before, hey, guess what? XP Evo, it is a LAN tournament. It is a successor to Trackadia. It is happening in Cologne at Experion Cologne. And bro, let me tell you, I was just there with Atomic. Atomic flew down from Norway. We rode together up to Cologne. And the event is so conveniently located. I'm not joking. I'm not even exaggerating. It is one stop away from the Hauptbahnhof, or the main train station in Cologne. Mm-hmm. You take one stop by the S-Bahn, and then literally the S-Bahn's like on a bridge, and you walk down the steps, and literally if you look to your left or your right, depending on which side of the Hauptbahnhof you get off, or the train station there, it is literally right beside the train station. So it is, if you are staying anywhere in Cologne that is near train access, you will have immediate access by train to the venue. It is super easy and super convenient. And that is happening September 22nd to the 24th. We already released the ticket details, base ticket entry. So that is just basic entry to the event for the entire weekend is going to be €15. If you want to enter the tournament, it is going to be €45. And that includes the base entry ticket as well. So you don't have to buy the base ticket entry and the tournament entry together. You just buy one. There will also be a VIP ticket and maybe some other things, but the VIP ticket details I'm not going to release because we don't have the details finalized on that. We have a whole caster lineup. I was reminded today that, hey, we have a caster lineup. There's a whole caster lineup I can't reveal just yet, but we have so many things. I could say that familiar faces will return and there will be maybe one or two new faces. I don't know. We'll see. So there'll be some improvements on the stream. I'm going to be honest. I am fighting tooth and nail right now to make sure that the stream production is going to be as good, if not better, than Tracadia. At minimum, the 50-minute breaks in between matches, it's going away regardless of whatever happens. You will not have to sit at a countdown screen for 45 minutes. It's not going to happen anymore. I refuse to allow it. But yeah, we're going to try to make things good. We're going to try to make things on. At least right now for XP Evo, what I can say is that all we're doing is really trying to nail down the fluff of the event, the more exciting things, the flashy things. But as far as the base event, the venue, the PCs, the tournament itself, everything of the core that you need for the event, it's there, it's happening. It's just kind of the finer details of like, is shiny thing A going to be there or is shiny thing B going to be there? That's kind of what I'm dealing with, which is a nice problem to have at the moment. So yeah, I'm excited.
Woo.
And it's happening. It's so hard to explain to you guys. Like, I can't even talk about it because like I don't want to give false promises. That's why I'm like so like secretive about some things and then not so secretive about other things. It's because I don't want to give false promises because I just want it to be a good event. But I'm not going to say it's going to be the best event ever because I don't know what's going to happen. I want it to be the best event, but I can't promise that.
You have to say that. You have to manifest that it's going to be the best event.
I manifested in Tracadia that I didn't know what was going to happen, and it turned out great. So I'm just going to stay with my confusion type of tactic and just be like, you know, hope for the best, but lower your expectations and just be there to have fun and enjoy and hang out with your friends and meet up with the community. That's the biggest thing. We're there to have a good international event where everybody's able to meet up. A nice central location for European players and international, because, hey, I hear some American players and maybe some people from even Oceania, Austria.
That's
Austria, Speedy.
American geography.
Yeah, you know what? No, I'm actually the best geography person ever. And then I said that phrase, but I actually said geology by accident the other day. But yeah, like I wanted to have fun. I want everybody who's coming to enjoy themselves. And at worst, it's just a tournament. A tournament where you can play, meet up with your friends, and we have a decent stream. At best, it's going to be a little bit more interactive and there'll be more opportunities for everybody to do other things outside of just focus around the tournament. So we are trying our best. As the Germans say, press your thumbs for us as we try to get these details together. And if you have anybody who's like got business or resources or anything, you know, hit me up. If you have like a skill, like production or anything like that, that you want to offer up for free, because we're all doing this for free, by the way, none of us are getting any money. We are not paying a dime, but we are also not making any money. Any of the money that's made from the tickets or for the prize pool, they are going either to pay off the expenses that Experian are incurring from hosting this event, and the prize pool just goes to the players. We Evo, none of the staff that any of the work that we're doing it all for free. We're doing it all for the passion of the community. So yeah, if you want to join and help us and alleviate some of that burden, please reach out to me. Outside of that, I'm done ranting now.
Good. Yes, Pete, run everything.
Who am I going to ask you to
XP by Aligo?
I have to ask really quick. How does your mic taste? Because you're really close and you're peeking.
Yes.
It's a little hard.
I don't cut the whole fucking clip.
Feel free to clip that. I like it. Okay. Anybody have questions? Questions about anything we've talked about today? We'll kind of wrap it up here. Unless you guys have something you want to say.
I have one thing.
Yes.
That we kind of glossed over. And we don't have to talk about it. I just want to say, those, you remember that Tona said they have like pre-picked some maps for the console release?
Yes.
I obviously didn't play them. I think gameplay-wise, they were pretty good. But what were those ATs? Holy shit. Okay, that's it. That's just what I wanted to say.
I believe the ATs were really, really easy in it. Like, I
way
don't know.
Too easy, like seconds.
Way too easy? Ah, okay.
Yeah, like people on Reddit said like that usually I take like half an hour or 1 hour to get the AT, and now I did it first try or second try.
It feels like they think the new players are like 5 years old and never touch a console in their life, but...
Yeah, maybe not that. Maybe they just think that they are 5 years old and that if they don't get instant gratification of, oh my god, I'm so good at this game within like 5 minutes of playing their first track of the day, then they're not going to stay or something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's back to normal now, so it's not... I don't want to rant about it, but it just struck me as, once again, pretty weird and... Yeah, okay.
Like, do for better.
I don't know.
Is there a bar? There is a Red Bull bar. They do not serve alcoholic drinks at the event because kids are allowed in there. The actual event itself, or the area that we're in, I believe is 16 plus. Technically, that area is 18 plus. I have to double check with them and make sure that. But I believe it should be 16 plus that'll be allowed because they don't serve any alcohol or anything because they have kids running around. Like, so the entire venue of the top floor, there's like over 100 PCs. Those are all free to play. You don't have to sign up or register or anything. You literally just hop on the computer and you can start using it right away. And they also have like actual driving rigs and everything that
wait,
you can
but
use as well.
You can drink beer inside the event, or it's
no,
not allowed.
No, it's alcohol free venue.
Oh,
yeah, sorry.
I'm not coming anymore.
Okay.
Now I'm happy to go because I don't like drunk
but holy
people.
Moly, there's so many bars in the area. Like, if you guys are that desperate, go to a bar. That's all I can say. But there is a Red Bull bar. You can get drinks and food there. And you can bring, for those who were upset that they couldn't bring their drinks to the venue, you'll be able to bring like a bottled drink to the venue, like your own water and stuff. Or whatever.
Can you bring food or food is not allowed?
The food is available in the venue. I don't know if you can bring food to your PC. I doubt that. That's probably not sanitary at all.
Yes.
But yes, there is food available at the venue. But again, if you don't want the venue food, you can also just hop on the train literally right next door and then go anywhere. So, and there's
yeah,
a ton of
I mean, it's Central Station Help on Elf is really in the middle of the city. You can literally walk like one or two squares and you will find something. A donut.
But can we get drunk before the event? I mean, probably. I don't see why you couldn't. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's so many wasted people that go to those weekend events that they have. They have like a Magic the Gathering event. I'm sure there's people that are just like wasted, like waking up with a massive hangover, just pre-gamed before the event. So, you know.
Reminds me of table tennis. Like there was like one club, or I mean technically multiple, but there was one club. If they had a match somewhere else, like not at home, they always brought their own beer, and before they even made the first shot or like warming up, they drank at least like two bottles, because otherwise they couldn't play because they are used to it.
Oh, Chris's question, or maybe that was Venom's. I don't know who's on the account right now. Now that Evo Twitter account is inching closer to 1,000 followers, yes, it's true. Will we see the import or stash port at XP Evo? I grew back the stash because I actually kind of like it. I've gotten used to it now. And it grows back super quickly now, so I'm just kind of lazy and I don't want to have to shave it every like 3 days, 2 days, whatever. So yeah, I think stash port's going to stay. So
nice.
You're welcome, everybody.
Are we gonna have my stats too for
the Will you shave if we win EMC? Yes, I will. That's a bet right there. I will shave if we win if we win EMC. You win, we win together. Evo. That's kind of how that works. Team. Yeah. All right. Okay, team. So that's all the things. Yeah. Are we gonna have a podcast next week, guys?
Oh, that is.
I don't know. I don't know. Everything changes.
That's the funny thing is, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. Where it's like before the podcast, you're like, "Oh, I don't want to do this right now," and then you're in the podcast, and I was like, "Oh, it's okay. It's fine."
Actually, no. When really? I know that I have podcasts, like, oh yeah, I have podcasts. I have to be ready at X time, you know.
I just dread doing anything that requires effort.
Yeah, I'm with you, Import. But today I didn't want to because I'm ill. Just Thursdays, right? Like literally Thursday, like healthy every single day of the week, and then Thursday you wake up and you feel like shit.
Yeah.
Amazing timing.
Yeah,
but hey, we made it.
I mean, for me today is a non-working day, but I have to study the whole afternoon from 2 to 6.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really fun.
I'm not gonna promise that we're gonna be back next week, but the plan is still be back next week. So, in one form or another, maybe it's not us three, maybe it is us three, maybe it's two of us, maybe it's just one of us with two strangers. Who knows? But we're trying. We have lives. So, but
wait, we do.
I don't know about you, but
I at least got a life, bro. I ain't got time for this. What you talking about? Yeah. So thank you guys so much for watching the stream. I think we're gonna end it here. Hold on, Import. Wait. I heard next week Nevermind wants to be the guest. Wait, you have a life? You said you play League Ranked.
why are you fucking playing League, Import?
I'm gonna play League after this, by the way.
By the way, he wanted to play League while doing this.
I actually did want to play League while doing this. I was like, can I multitask? Obviously no, but
there's a German podcast I listen to sometimes, and one of the there were like 4 or 5 people depending on who was there, and one of them was constantly playing Hearthstone during the podcast. And he got asked like a difficult question. He was like, yeah, give me a minute. I have a very important turn to make here.
Do you want to know something? When I was in university, I legit played League of Legends matches in the middle of a lecture. Multiple times. Yeah, that's
kind of stupid.
I did it.
Literally played League of Legends for like...
I only did 3 times, but...
10 hours when I was on my last year of university when I had to focus on my thesis, but I couldn't give a fuck about it, so I preferred to play.
But I used to be such a League addict that I would play 14 games a day. Easily.
Yeah.
And still be bronze trash.
At least I was platinum with 200 ping. Okay.
Look, your little region doesn't count, okay? I don't want to
hear it. Brother, I played in an A.
That's why I say with 200 ping, I was the platinum.
You were platinum with 200 ping? Dang.
Yes, I have proof of that.
You need to play League again. I want to see if you still got it.
Yeah, I'm unranked, by the way.
I'm actually gold right now.
I played like 5 games in total, yeah. And to be honest, I just had zero fun doing it.
2 years ago. Really?
I would never say that League of Legends is a shit game, but it's not for everybody. For me. Like,
you know what I do enjoy now? I mean, I've been playing with Gecko. It's a Fortnite. But the non-construction stuff, oh my god, this is just so fun. I love it. Yeah, we won, like, I don't know, 5 games in a row. And Fortnite. Then we start like, okay, we have to play one more and we can start with ranks. It was really fun.
I remember playing a ranked game with Gecko. It was Minion Masters and homie was getting tilted. He was like, why are you, your timing on this card play is like kind of bad. And I was like, thanks. My bad. He's like, why are you playing this card when I've already played this minion? And I was like, because I really don't know what I'm doing.
I was so scared of that day, like, because I know how he plays in everything. So I was like, oh my god, he's gonna get shit.
It's okay. If it was any other game that I actually, like, took seriously, like, or played competitively, like Rocket League or League of Legends or something like that, then I would have been the exact same, so.
I mean, Gecko was a challenger in League of Legends, so he probably was shit on you, yes.
Bro. What a tryhard.
Or Master, I don't remember. Challenger or Master, I don't know. He's really good at games. I'm jealous.
I hate people like that. It makes me so jealous. But at the same time, I also realize that I could never commit that amount of time because I would go insane.
That's true.
Yeah. So
me and Dexter constantly yelled at each other in Rocket League.
That's why I'm Trackmania.
Yeah, Trackmania. Because you can only get mad at yourself. Unless you're playing matchmaking. And then you can get pissed at other people.
Yeah, unless you get landing bug.
True. Then you can get pissed at the game.
Or a disconnect during cup of the day.
Random slowdown. Okay, we're going to end it here. Thank you guys so much for watching the stream, listening to us babble. Hopefully we'll be back next week. If not, whatever. Follow us on Twitter. You'll find out whether we stream or not. We love you guys. Thank you guys for showing your support. Make sure to follow us. And you better be coming to XP Evo or I will be really mad.
I'm gonna see everyone in XP Evo this year, actually. So
good.
Expect I'm gonna be taking a lot of pictures. So if you say no to my pictures, I'm gonna get mad.
Madge.
So bye. Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye bye. Have a good rest of the weekend.